I know that you wish you was preaching tonight. After all that good singing, I tell you, I love singing. One of these days, I'll lay this preaching down and go to singing. I love singing. Thank you, church, for the good songs that's been sung and how they've blessed our hearts. And I'm thankful for what I can feel tonight in my soul. I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm on my way home. One of these days, I'm going, and I'm going to make it there. Not because I'm a preacher, but because I've been born again. That's the reason I'm going to heaven tonight. A lot of folks are depending on their good works. Some folks depending on their baptism. I'm not neither one of those. I'm depending on what happened to me as a 16-year-old boy in an old-fashioned revival meeting on a Friday night when the Holy Ghost convicted my heart of my sins and God drew me to Himself and I repented and asked God to save me, and He did. And I've not been the same since. Amen. And the older I get, the sweeter this is to me. Now, that I was saved when I was 16. That's been a long time ago, but it's still good tonight. And I'm thankful for the keeping of God's grace. It's a blessing to be here in this revival. Boy, this morning was a blessing to me, and look forward to being here tonight. I want to read a few verses out of the book of John, chapter number 20. If you'll turn there with us, beginning with verse number 19. When you find that place, if you would, stand with us and let's honor the Bible. John, chapter number 20, beginning with verse number 19. Verse number 19. While you pray for us for just a few minutes this evening. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jew, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this evening, thanking you, Father, for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this church and for these, our brothers and sisters that are bound with us. Lord, you know the need of the hour. We ask you, dear God, that you'd touch us tonight, Lord, and give us what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray maybe there might be somebody here that's not ever been saved. I pray, Lord, that before this service comes to a close, Lord, that conviction is set up in their heart and the drawing power of God to draw them to an altar of repentance. Lord, that they might leave here saved by your grace. We ask you now, Lord, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power to preach your word one more time. We ask you now, Lord, to go with us and what you do for us. Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and we'll praise you for all you do. Save the lost and revive the backslider. And we'll give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Breathe on us. I want to talk to us this evening for just a few minutes on that thought. If the Lord will help us, on Lord, breathe on me. Amen. If I know my heart tonight, the church needs a filling of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know how you believe the Bible, and it really doesn't matter to me tonight because I'm doing the preaching. If the Lord will help me, and when it's your turn, then you'll preach it. Amen. How you see it. But tonight, I believe that when a person's saved by the grace of God, that he's saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that, the initial filling of the Holy Ghost. But I believe that there are times in our Christian lives where we're being filled with the Holy Spirit from time to time. There's times when we have that filling of the Lord, amen, that causes a man to get loose in the Holy Ghost. And we're not all the time that away, but every once in a while there'll be a filling take place. And sometimes it'll make a man shout. Sometimes it'll make a sister to get up and testify. I remember in the olden days, I used to see more of that. than I do today where the Holy Ghost fills the house. Amen. And people that have been born again and get loose in the Spirit of God. The Bible said if the Spirit make you're free indeed. This is probably the most misunderstood text that I read to you tonight. Not many people preach on this. Not many folks talk about it. But it's in there and it's for our benefit. Just like it was for their benefit. Now the Lord Jesus had been crucified and they had taken him out and buried him. And the Bible tells us that 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. Now the disciples in chapter number 14, Jesus had told them that he is going away. And he said, if I go away, I'll send you a comforter who'll guide you, who'll be with you and shall be in you. And now the Lord Jesus had gone away. He had been crucified. And in verse number 17, when Mary come to him and she was wanting to touch him, and she said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. He said, but go to my brethren. And he said, and say unto them, I've ascended unto my Father. And so tonight, we're at the place now where Jesus had went back into heaven, taken his blood, placed it on the mercy seat, amen, and satisfied his Father in heaven. And now he's come down again unto the disciples. Now the disciples are in the room with the door shut. And the Bible said they're there in fear of the Jew. And they have lost their joy and their gladness here. It must have been in their mind. Where is the Lord? He has been crucified. He has died and he's buried. And we've been to the sepulchre and he's not there. Where's he at? And I'm sure that as they were gathered there, there was many things in their mind. I remember when the Lord saved me. And I tell you, there was a closeness there that I cannot describe to you. You'll just have to experience it yourself. Amen. But I can remember that day, and it wasn't many days afterward until it seemed like I hadn't even been saved. The devil told me that I made a fool out of myself, and I went up there and told that church that the Lord saved me. I thought when I got saved that that feeling would never leave me, that everywhere I'd go, I'd feel just like I did that night when I got saved. But that wasn't the case. And it wasn't many days afterward until I got getting back in the flesh. And I wondered, had I ever been saved? And I wondered what had happened to me. It was 2 years after I got saved when God spoke to my heart to join the church. Now, reckon why God did that. I waited 2 years. And I wonder if he was testing the church. I don't know. But nobody said nothing to me about coming to church. Nobody said nothing to me about joining the church. I wasn't raised up in church. I didn't even own a Bible. Never I had read the Bible. Didn't know how the book from Genesis to Revelation. Couldn't have quoted John 3:16. Absolutely knew nothing of the Word of God. I didn't know you're supposed to unite with a local church. And fact of the matter is, I really didn't know anything about the local church. But one day, amen, in the basement of my father's house, the Lord began to speak to my heart and led me to join the church. And from that time on, I began to realize what had happened to me. Amen. And then been some times after when the Lord breathed on me. And he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, a filling of the Spirit of God. And it didn't take me long to realize that I really had gotten saved. Amen. Because time and time again, I'd feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in my heart. And when he said, breathe on me, and those disciples felt, and listen, the breathing of God, that's a feeling, amen. Somebody said, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that there's no feeling there. I'll tell you, when I got saved, I got a feeling. Amen. I tell you, if you don't feel this, you ain't got this, amen. Every once in a while, I feel him. Now listen, I'm not going to heaven on my feelings. I've been been born again, but I'm glad I feel him along the way. If I didn't, I wouldn't even know that he was close to me. Feeling, amen. Now, they had to feel something. Now the Lord knew that he is fixing to go home to be with the Lord, to be with his Father, and they needed a feeling, and they needed a touch, and the Lord wasn't going to give them a physical touch. But when the Holy Ghost begins to move, it's as if the Lord is breathing on us, and that breath of God represents a closeness, a nearness, amen. When the Lord's near to us, we can feel his breath, amen. And I tell you, you can't feel it living far away, but when the Lord moves in close, hallelujah, there's an intimate relationship with him and with you, amen, that this world knows nothing about. Breathe on me, Lord. Amen. There's a closeness to feel the breath of God. Amen. But there's not only a closeness, there's a comforting. Amen. To know he's near. There's something about the Lord now. When he draws near, the Bible said, draw near unto me and I'll draw near unto you. But there's a comforting factor, amen, when the Lord begins to move close and you can feel him. Amen, there's some times, like the disciples, I felt afraid, amen, and I needed some comforting. Amen, I needed to just know, Lord, are you there? Yeah. Amen. I remember one time going up here to Chattanooga and going down into Ruby Falls. They tell me that that's about a mile, I think, under the ground. And they got us under the ground, and they said, we're fixing to cut the lights off. And they said, don't be afraid. Said, we're going to cut the lights off. And we just want you to see how dark it is down here. And so they cut the lights off. And I just tried to put my hand there to see if I could see my hand. And I couldn't see my hand. And I began to say, Lord, are you here? A mile underground in the darkness. Amen. And I said, Lord, are you here? And I tell you, I heard that sweet voice and felt the presence of God. He said, I am here. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's a comforting, a factor in the breath of God. There's life everlasting. Breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me tonight. We need to feel the breath of God. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us here they were afraid. They were afraid of the unknown, what was going to happen to them. They had been with the Lord now 3.5 years, and they had seen the miracles of the Lord. They were in the garden when the Lord blowed his breath on 600 soldiers, and they fell backwards. You remember when he went and he blowed them all as dead men, 600 men, and they had witnessed that there in that garden, and now they didn't know that he was gone now, and they hadn't saw him since he is on the cross, and they put him in the tomb. But now he don't knock on the door, and they don't open the door. He just walks right through the door. Amen. In their presence, I'm telling you, that'd scare a lot of Baptists to death. If the Lord had decided to walk in the house, it'd scare you to death. But I want you to know, he walked in among them. They didn't know what to expect, but he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I tell you, sometimes I don't know about this thing. There's sometimes when I felt like I didn't know what was fixing to happen. I've been serving the Lord now 40-something years, and there's some times in my life, there's been some times in preaching that I had no idea what I was going to preach on, and sitting on the front bench, just about how to take the pulpit, scared to death, had no idea, afraid of the unknown. But I'm telling you, that one step of faith and that breath of God, when he breathed on me, empowered me with the authority of the Word of God, and we began to preach the gospel. Hallelujah! Breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me. We need to feel the breath of God. When was the last time how you felt how closeness of the Lord? Amen. Some of you hadn't felt the Holy Spirit in a long, long time. It's evident. Amen. Because you don't feel near to God. Breathe on me. If we'd have more of a desire for the presence of the Lord and the feeling of the Holy Ghost, I tell you tonight, if I didn't feel Him every once in a while, I'd think there's something wrong with me. I'd get to praying more. I'd get to seeking more. I'd get to living better. I'd try to do everything I can. I'd say, Lord, breathe on me. Amen. There's afraid of the unknown. There's afraid of the Jew. What people was going to think about him. I remember one time after I got saved, just right after I got saved, I went to the ball field. They was having a softball game or a baseball game in Honiana. And I went over there right after I got saved. And I walked up to this one man and I said, sir, I said, I got saved tonight. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he just eased on off. And I thought, what in the world's wrong with him? That crowd over yonder that I just left from, they're happy because I got saved. So I thought I'd try it again. And I went to another person. And I said, I got saved tonight. And they just looked at me and walked off. And I figured out I was in the wrong crowd. Yeah. Amen. That crowd was a whole lot different than that crowd over yonder at the church house, amen. But I'm telling you, I felt alone at that place. But I've never felt alone with Jesus. Amen. He's always near. Amen. He's always with us, and He'll be with us. And I'm glad every once in a while we can feel Him. There's afraid of the Jew. I tell you, they'd wondered what's going to happen to them now. Their leader is gone. The one who protected them, the one who had authority to speak and change lives, had left them. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Their hearts were troubled. Amen. They were troubled because the one whom they trusted would be with them and would not leave them. And now he's talking about leaving them, talking about dying, talking about leaving, going back into heaven. Where's he going to go? They're afraid of the unknown. What are we going to do now? We're all by ourselves. Jesus is gone. They hadn't seen him. Mary said, but we don't know. But all of a sudden he walks in the door. Hallelujah. And says, peace be unto you. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, they were afraid of the unknown. And afraid of the Jew, but the Lord gave them peace. But then I wondered if this breath of God, not only did it comfort them in their fear and of the unknown, but I wondered sometimes if they was wondering about, are they going to fail? I'm going to tell you, this has been a little over 2,000 years ago now, and we're still here. Do you think they failed? They didn't fail. Amen. They didn't fail. They wondered about their failures. What are we going to do now? Are we going to be able to preach? Are we going to be able to step out? What are we going to do now? There they were. The Lord's gone now. They were together and they're saying, what are we going to do? Are we going to just stop now? Are we going to just end it here? Is this going to be all of it? How are we going to fail? I tell you, I can imagine when I got saved, they told me it'll never last. I tell you, I'm still going at it tonight. Amen. It's just as rich and real now as it was then. The fact of the matter is, I'm closer now than I've ever been. Amen. But they wondered. They wondered in their failures. How are we going to fail? Are we going to be able to do this? When he commissioned them to go into all the world and preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, are they going to be able to do it? I'll tell you how they did it. He breathed on them. Amen. I tell you tonight, we cannot labor for the Lord without the breath of God. I think about Adam laying there as a lifeless chunk of clay. God formed him in the ground. And the Bible tells us he's laying there. And all of a sudden God breathed in his nostrils. And Adam woke up. And the Bible said he became a living soul. That same breath that was breathed in Adam's body is the same breath, amen, that he breathed in the disciples here tonight when he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I was born into the world in 1957 into the McClellan family. But 43 years ago, thank God, I was born again into the family of God. The first family gave me a natural breath. But when I got born again, woo, hallelujah, he gave me spiritual breath, life everlasting. He said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Oh, breathe on me, Jesus. Oh, they wondered about their failures. But it took the breath of God to keep them going. He told these disciples, he said, "Go into Jerusalem and tarry there until you're endued with power from on high." And the Bible said that about 170 gathered in the upper room. Here we go again. Amen. And the Bible said they were there. And all of a sudden, like a mighty rushing wind, there it is again. Look it up. That's the breath of God. Mighty rushing wind. A breathed on them. Hallelujah. And the Bible said they began how to preach. Hallelujah. And they preached with power. Fire came upon them. And the Holy Ghost fell on them. And I tell you, empowered them. And they never were the same. They went from Jerusalem into Judea and into Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world. How'd he do it? He breathed on them. Oh, listen tonight. They suffered not only in their failures but their rejections. The Bible said they were shut there with fear of the Jew. What are people going to say about us? How are they going to feel about us? The night I got saved, I went home. After I went to the ball field, I went home. I thought surely if anybody would be glad for me getting saved, it'd be my daddy. It'd be my daddy. I walked in the house about midnight, and my daddy said, "Is that you?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I got saved tonight." He said, "I didn't know you was lost." I said, "Yes, sir, I was lost." He said, "Go to bed." And I thought, well, he didn't sound a bit happy. He never said nothing. He didn't say, "I'm glad." He didn't say, "Now you'll be different." He didn't say nothing. I never felt more rejected after I got saved than I did that time right there. If anybody ought to rejoice, it ought to be your mom and daddy. But they didn't care. Mom and daddy didn't care. Not one bit. I'd been on drugs. I'd been on alcohol. I'd cussed. I've stole. I've been in jail. I've ran away from home. All those things in the world. And it would look like that mother and daddy would have been thrilled about me getting born again. But they rejected the very family, the very friends, the friends that I had all forsaken me. The only friends I had was drug addicts and alcoholics. And they all, when they found out I got saved, they all left. They vanished. I don't know what happened to them. They're gone. They went the other way. Oh, listen, I tell you today, the world's going to hate you because they hated him. And he said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Woo, hallelujah. Breathe on me. Breathe on me, Lord. Oh, listen, I'm sure a lot of times when you get born again, you're rejected. Rejected on the job, rejected by friends, loved ones. They wondered about it. They said, for fear of the Jew. They were some of them Jews. Most of them were Jews. They were saved, and they were going to be rejected by their families. But you know what they did? The Lord breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Amen. They didn't care. They kept going. You remember what one man said? How the Bible said we perceived that these men were ignorant and unlearned, but we perceived they'd been with Jesus. Amen. I tell you tonight, how the world will reject you. Amen. But what keeps us going? What keeps us moving? The Holy Ghost. Breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me. Tonight, you're here. You're afraid. You're afraid
to be called a Christian. You're here tonight and you're afraid of what somebody might think about you if you get happy in the Lord. When was the last time you just raised your hand and praised the Lord? When was the last time you shouted? Last year, year before last, I was in a revival meeting over in Oneonta. And there was this young mother. She was just a young mother. She had a couple of children. And she got in the choir. And they got to singing, and she cut loose a shout. I mean, she just shouted and shouted and shouted. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Breathe on her. I mean, she shouted, shouted, and she'd raise that hand. She disrupted the whole meeting. Yeah, they just had to quit singing. I mean, she just shouted and shouted, and she was crying. She didn't care what they thought about her. She didn't care what anybody said. When she got through, she said, I've been praying that the Lord would shout me. And she just shouted again. Woo! Hallelujah! I tell you, the Lord drawed close to her and she just shouted. The next night she came and I thought, what is she going to do tonight? And she got in the choir and she shouted again. I thought, help us, Lord. Help us. About that time, there's others chimed in. And they went to shouting. Have you ever thought about shouting? Have you ever shouted? Oh, yeah. When you can't do anything else but shout, shout. Amen. Breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me. Some of you probably afraid what somebody think about you. Go ahead and let your hair down. Amen. Stand up and testify. Tell the goodness of God. Somebody said, if I raise my hand, somebody go, look at me. That's okay. Let them look. Amen. They got to the place where they didn't care. They preached anyhow. And they testified anyhow. And they did the Lord's will anyhow. Jesus told them, said, when you go into the town, he said, you knock on the door. He said, them that receive you, go in and sit down with them, eat with them. So whatever they got, eat with them. But he said, when you knock on the door, if they will not receive you, knock the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. It's no big deal. Amen. Just knock the dust off your feet and go to somebody else. Somebody said, oh, poor me. They hate me. They don't like me. Well, hey, listen, they didn't like him. Just knock the dust off your feet. Somebody's going to love you. Somebody's going to be thankful that you came to their house and told them about Jesus. They were on their road to hell, but somebody said something to them about the Lord, and they got saved. Hallelujah. And now they're headed towards glory. Breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me. Tonight, you're here, and you don't know what's going to happen. I don't either. I'll be honest with you. I don't either. I don't know that any of us know what we're headed for down here on earth. The Lord does. Somebody said, boy, I hope it gets better. If you're depending on the president for this place to get better, you're putting your trust in the wrong one. Amen. That one man can't make it better. The only one that ever make it better is the Lord Jesus. Right. We wonder about the unknown, what's going to happen to us. And we're afraid. And we need the breath of God to breathe on us. When was the last time that you felt the closeness of the Lord? When was the last time you had a desire? You know, I'm going to say this. I'm a grown man. I can. The best times that me and my wife have together is when we snuggle close and we feel our breath. Yeah. Yeah, that's all right, ain't it? That's just something about that. That's just something about that when me and my wife get together and it's just close and it's me and her. And it's close, it's comforting, and it's just peaceful. She'll look at me and she'll say, this is peaceful, ain't it? I said, yeah, it's nice. When the Lord draws near, and I'm sitting there, sometimes I'm cold. Sometimes I feel alone. And all of a sudden, he just moves up close. And he breathes on me. He'll say, peace be unto you. Hallelujah. And that sweet peace of the unknown comes in. And I'm telling you, it's okay. Whatever happens, it's okay. Tonight, Lord, breathe on me. Do you desire that? When was the last time he'd been that close? When was the last time you've been that close? When was the last time you felt the comfort? He said unto them again, peace be unto you. And it was at that time when he breathed on them and they really felt that peace. Let's stand tonight.